Actually, when I was invited by my very dear friend and colleague Hanan, I thought that I'm going to be talking about the issues that I've been talking about for the last few years, about the conflict, ISIS, which is my area of specialization, or Syria, who I spend most of the time, and Iraq, and those. Then she told me I'm returning to the old memories that I still remember, which is Egypt and the situation of the journalism in Egypt. And I have been away from Egypt for 1 year for a good reason, and now I'm back. So talking about this, so I will talk about the effort for a sustainable self-regulation model in Egypt. And I say sustainable because this is what the models can live. It's not there now, but hopefully one day it will be there. Sorry. As Egypt deserves a successful model of media self-regulation, this paper critically assesses the efforts toward establishing this. It elaborates on how the idea of implementing of a self-regulation started, how it can be accomplished, and what went wrong. Creating a self-regulation model was one of the key issues discussed after the 25th of January revolution in Egypt. But introducing the model to the journalist community was one of the challenges. It was a challenge. The right momentum. This has been the right momentum for any change in the country to happen, including the media. Actually, it didn't happen for the media for reasons that we are going to be talking about today, and you have been already talking about for this last couple of days. As Iris Kyong talks about the communicative spaces, so when people do not find representation, and one of the representation is in the media, because they cannot find themselves well represented in the media, Taylor as well would say, they would go into revoluting. And this is a revolution act. It started in Tunis, and we take the manual, and then other countries followed, and it turned it sometimes in some countries into chaos. So why the communicative spaces here didn't work? There was places people were... It looks very optimistic from outside, but those people are very angry audience. And one of the things that they were very angry is the media. At the end, I will show you one of the songs that they have produced to express their anger. The first time I went to this space, this communicative space, people were angry of us. Even when I was talking to my colleague, the famous anchor, Reem Magid, yesterday, she said that people, each time, because people in this space, they do not watch the media, they were very angry because of the lack of representation. The lack of representation was one of the angers that people have. They, one of the demands of the square, in addition to Aish Hurriya, Adala, Ijtimaiya, it was about the media and how angry they're in the media. So it was one of the demands of the people that they have to change, and I say again, because reform is a crime, and sometimes change the media. They express it in many ways. So this is planting democracy in the square. I think this is a very optimistic thing, because when you have those gathering of people, you have a lot of things, like rumors. So we tried, as a journalist at that time, to tell people that we are not the evil persons that they think, and they shouldn't treat us like masses. And we started an idea of having a press center inside Tahrir Square, and encouraged our colleague to have square and other squares have this kind of representation, because there was a lot of rumors, a lot of stuff, to be able to talk to people, to be able to reach the idea of people. And a lot of people joined. If you cannot report the way you are in your own newspaper, in your own television, you would come to us to the square and represent yourself. So how things turned wrong? Because we're not only the people who are in the square are not the people who are in the television. This is a critical mass. This is the public sphere. But the public sphere is not only thing. So who controls the media? The shapes of ownership in Egypt, and we have been talking prolongly for the last 2 days about this. Actually, the ones who are owned completely, the state-owned media, and the private media, because some people would say independent media. There is no something called that we have independent media. It's businessman, it's a business model. Someone is owning the media. And the worst thing in history is the coalition that reproduce the regime. So why is the regime is there? Because the coalition that reproduce the regime is always there. It is between the people who have the power, whoever in the authority, whoever is Mubarak, the SCAF, the army, the military, the Islamist, whoever there, he is collating because they want a representation and they want to use the media. What I will quote my friend Hossein Bahgat when he said there are people who don't understand the media and they only say my sahish, okay? So they don't understand really. They are not pretending, but they do not understand this. So this coalition was very much represented in the media. So the people who have the power already have the state-owned media, but again, the coalition on the businessman, the capitalism on the other side, who are coalescing with them. So we have the formation problem. So one of the things that made people angry was something like this. So this is how people are gathering during the Friday of Anger. They were very angry at 2011 going through. And this is what the state-owned television gets a sink. This, okay? It was just a different angle, but it changed the story. So how ethical this is. And we cannot blame people for being angry because they have a reason. Even if they have to do something which is in a Western society, I don't know the... It's an insult, okay? So this is Maspero, this is the state-owned media, and this is how people express their anger. They were very angry of this state-owned media, and they were very angry as well of a lot of TV anchors that they hanged in the square the photos of those people. So those people were angry. So, because it's the most important thing, because in some authoritarian systems that we are living, actually, whoever controls the media controls everything. So that was the way of protecting the place where you say that you control the country. But physical protection is not enough. Physical protection is not enough. It is important for the journalist at this point in history to know something. If you don't regulate yourself, someone will regulate you. And it is the authority always trying to regulate the journalist. So I was there at the press syndicate, and I was there at that time still a reformist who was trying to be doing change, you know, and I was still believing in the entity. And I don't regret the efforts that we have done, because we have done it and it was good, but it was not successful because it depended on deformation. So we started talking about self-regulation. So at that time, we had a very good cooperation with the UNESCO office in Cairo. And at March 2011, during the revolution, we were already talking to Chris Elliott, the embodiment of the Guardian, to come and talk about the embodiment. Embodiment is someone who talks on behalf of the people. This is a very new, at that time, it's a very new concept that we were introducing to the newspapers. And people told us, we went to every newspaper, and whenever we go there and knock the door, they were nice because he's a British man, he's a foreigner, we talk to him well. But then after this, they whisper in my ear, say, Abir, this is science fiction. That's a word that they had used. Just the same word that Mustafa said. Science fiction. They do not believe in it. They don't do it. Say it's a momentum. And momentum for them is selling more, appointing more people, and selling more the media. So at that time, it didn't work very well. And one of the debate we have, and it's a very important and legitimate debate about the freedom of expression. How come you, versus accountability? How come you come? You are coming from this. We are not imprisoning journalists. How come you come and say we have a press council and those kind of stuff? Are you with the other people against us? Actually, it needed a lot to say. If you have a good reputation, and we don't as a journalist, except for some exceptions, thank God we have people like Kareem Magid, like Yusri Fouda, like people who really believed in this revolution, and those people gave us a lot of power. But at the end of the day, we need to hold accountability, because if you don't regulate yourself, someone is going to regulate you. So forgive me because I'm in those photos, because they are mine, of course, so I'm there. It's not an ego or something. So this is a demonstration we have at the right here. This is the latest one for our colleague, Shaukan, who was taken at like now 2 years and 4 months, yes, without having anything against him. He's a photographer. He's a freelance photographer. And he's not a member of the press syndicate, according to the deformation that we have. And this is another one in front of the Shura Council in 2012. So we already have a problem of freedom of expression. So it is a reality. We have some colleagues. And even though this photo is not the end, this was the Deutsche Welle's one of the courses about video. But I'm not projecting it for that reason, actually. We have two people who died here, okay? Two people. This one... I don't know if how it's work. Yes, This one is Al-Husseini Abu Dhaif, who died during the time of the former president, Mohamed Morsi, in front of Al-Tahadiyya, the presidential palace. He was shot in the head. Until now, we don't know what really happened. And this is Ahmed Abdel Gawad. He's my friend, and he's from Al-Akhbar, and he worked for 25TV. And Ahmed has a story. He died. He was taken at the 3rd of July 2013. You know, when people were very some people were happy and some people were angry because there was this declaration about the map road. But the thing that I cared for as an independent journalist is that there were channels that were closed and there were journalists. And I was the first one who wrote about it because Ahmed luckily wrote for me. He called me and he said, "Sister, this is happening." And then he was freed after a few days, but the channels never returned back. But this was a message. This was a message. And at that speech, at that day, we heard the word about self-regulation said by the general who were giving the speech at that day. And it was very strange because regulation is that people regulate themselves. No one regulates them. And then Ahmed died in Rabah Square, okay? He was reporting for his television, and then he died in that day in the UK. That was one of the things. Returning to what we are talking about, good thing that we are not going to invent the wheel, okay? So self-regulation is already model done everywhere. People have done it. People have tried. But we are not going to copy and paste anything. So we are not going to do that, of course. So searching for the right model for us, we were cooperating at that time, and I mean we, the Syndicate of Journalists, because we took the initiative. But at what point we gave the leadership to everyone, because I don't want the one entity, even if I'm representing this entity at that time, to control, because the control, the independency, one of the things. So the UNESCO office in Cairo was working with us, the Deutsche Welle was working with us on this, and other partners. We talked already about the trainings with different ones. Cairo University entered and did a very successful workshops and research into this. And a lot of efforts after this. So I'm going to be a little fast because of the timing, looking for the right regulatory body. We have seen several models. Those are just photos of some of our meetings. We had a lot of meetings until we have reached that we cannot just copy and paste. Actually, the German, we came here, one of the things that we came here, and we asked the vice president of the press council here at Germany to come and join us like two or three times with the Deutsche Welle, and it was an inspiration. But we didn't only talk about that. We got other examples. We got the United Kingdom one. We looked at the France one, but it was totally different. And we looked to the Pakistani to know sometimes what to avoid as well. And we looked to the Sweden, where they have one ombudsman. And then we found something very interesting as well in the Indonesia. You know, Indonesia is a very similar country, and it went through a lot of process. Allow me not to go through a lot of details, because I already delivered to the organizers. Yeah, that's the conference that Hanan have been... We have been doing it together in Cairo, one of the efforts that was done through that. So it was a lot of things that was done during this. I gave some of the papers, the detailed papers about, we have publications, we have papers, we have a lot of stuff. We even went into a regulatory preparatory committee for the first press council that Egypt had. The most important, we went to the parliament, we went to the Constitution Committee, and we tried to, when I say we, it's a syndicate again, we did those openings, we discussed, and we had 7 articles to be added to the Constitution. Luckily, we had 2 that passed, but the implementation is always a problem. So implementing the things, you have a great ideas, and then suddenly you get the implementation, and it ruins everything. In addition to the legal administrative steps, parallel efforts had been done, like spreading the culture of self-regulation inside the media institution, publishing house, training middle management, because that was important for sustainability. Because we were doing a lot of stuff, but then suddenly we find whoever comes and hijacks, and I mean it, they hijack initiatives in this country. So you do something, you reach at the end, and they hijack it from you. So in order to talk about sustainability, you need to change the culture. You need to change the culture within the community, but as well, you need to change the culture among the journalists. Journalists were lagging behind in that. They were denials of the crimes, the ethical crimes that was done at that time, and you had to convince your own community. And these are one of the dilemmas, ethical dilemmas that happened. And this is, again, I'm talking about the hijacking of the initiative. One of the hijackings of the initiative, and it's only an example. When Rin told yesterday about seizing the media production city, it was just one of the examples. And I remember one of the meetings of the self-regulation, like suddenly the head of the RTU union called me, which is something very rare, and he invited me to come to a meeting. And I know, but you are already seized. He said, no, we are okay. Just come. And I said, are you sure no one from the government is coming? And he said, yes, no one is coming. And when I went there, and I went late, luckily, I entered and I found the Minister of Information at that time. It was 2013. And I found this man, okay? And this man, with all respect to everyone, and I don't want to talk about him because now he is prisoner, with all respect to this fact, and this is just an example of how things can be hijacked. He was there and he was telling journalists what to do and what not to do, and it was a self-regulation meeting. And again, I told you, the 3rd of July was not different because there was a general talking about self-regulation. So it's always the authorities that hijack. I'm only mentioning this. So what are the challenges, some of the challenges? Some of it is that made us really upset, the organizational challenges because of the deformation. Even the deformation of the bodies that represent the journalists, that don't put under the umbrella all the journalists in the country. Luckily, we were there and we tried to do something. But is it really representative? Again, the idea of representation, even those regulatory bodies, even the bodies, it is important to get this. The other thing is the shapes of ownership. And again, it's the coalition that reproduces the regime. The coalition between people who have the power and the coalition of people who have the money. And because of the lack of representation in Egypt, because you don't have a healthy political life. You don't have parties, you don't have people give power to the people, to the other people, like in any democracy. The only representation was the media. So if you have money enough, you would go and open a channel. Sometimes you do even money laundry. It is so lovely to do this into the media, and we have seen a lot of that happening. So the shapes of ownership, and if you really don't get profit and pay people, yeah. So you expect people to clap for you. You accepted to lease your business. So the deformation, one of the things. The legal challenges and the independency, it's another thing, because if you have an entity like that, that really, it's better for people to go to it than going to the court, you have to be legally stable and you have to be independent. Another thing is the financial challenge. So how to fund this entity without taking money from the government? Until now, as a syndicate of journalists, we... And fairly, people say, okay, the government pays to you, okay? So if some government directly pay, this is a problem. Here in Germany and in other countries, it comes from the fees that comes on television. We don't have that, although at the past, during the time of Nasser, it was on the radio. This is a big issue about the financing. I'm just mentioning this. And the third thing, the last thing is the culture change. We are in need for culture change. We as journalists, we need to hold accountability. We need to change ourselves. We need to accept the fact that people are going to account us. This is a change of the newsroom's culture, and it is important. So I'm going to skip this point, but this was an outline of an institutional framework and function structured at the self-regulation authority, because I shared with the organizer some of the documentation, how we wanted to be, and because of something. I'm talking about something that's a year old, 2 year and a half old, and now I cannot talk about the situation now, but they are doing something. We're going to find out. So after the 3rd of July, we have the fighting over the legitimacy. And then we have again the trio of the matrix. The trio of the matrix means for Polaroid. Now forgive my French. And he talks about the realities, the different versions of the reality until people live inside another reality. We have hate speech. on both sides, but more for people in Egypt or Kurds, they are following their channels. And actually, you, Doctor, you tell it all yesterday when you talk about the idea of the otherness, the propaganda, the discourse. Even you reached the point of Gramsci, which is the hegemony, yes. So ethical crimes against minors. So Dr. Naomi today showed us how this anchor can go and interview minors to admit that they do crimes and stuff like that. And I see this is one of the biggest crime. It is not the latest one. The latest one of the girl in the mall that had a physical harassment and then she used it against her. It's not that. We feel that because this girl is a middle class like most of us. But she did that against minors and I see it a very big crime. And if we had this body, she would have been out of business. Interfering of media houses' ownership and violating the privacy of the people who are not public figure. Again, the coalition between authority and the capitalism, lack of political politics of representation, lack of business models, because now all those business models are closing because there are other people who are going to coalesce with the new authority having a new parliament, anti-freedom of expression laws and practices. There are laws that ban people from going and demonstrating in this country, anti-media culture. Because if you ask me what this parliament or any parliament, not this parliament, if a parliament came to Egypt that is really representing the Egyptian people, he will send us home or to prison. Because people do not forget. When they discover that we lie over them, and when I see Lee, they treat us as a collective entity. They don't treat us like this person and this person and that person. And when punishment comes, it will come to all. It will not come to that person that I will not talk about. Oh, yeah. And it's about the social media campaign. And luckily, Dr. Fatma is going to say what's a social media campaign during this. So I will end up, please, with a song, okay? When I went to see this song, can you help me, yeah. Doctor, please? When I went to see this song, I was searched. This is a song that was produced by people at Tahrir Square to tell the media to behave, really. That all the bad things, the rumors that they said, they use it. And by the way, when I went there, I found a lot of songs from the ultras, and the latest one was from Sha'ban Abdurrahim. And another one from Daesh. Even ISIS is against us. Everybody do not like media. We need to get back our reputation. So we need a sustainable self-regulation model. It's not a luxury in a conflict. There is no momentum. We make the momentum. The momentum do not make us. Thank you and enjoy.